Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Monday. I'm back. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me 1 hour from now. Where Colin was right. Where Colin was wrong. One of my favorite ones of the year. All sorts of good stuff today. Good to have you. Enjoy. Good to see you. Hope your weekend was great.
It was great. How was yours?
Just took a day off Friday. A little skiing back. Ready to go.
Nice. Let's do it.
Flying down that hill. Flying down this hill. Here we go. So I was off Friday. So on Thursday night, the Lakers beat the Celtics for Rajon Rondo last second win. And, you know, I watched the end of the game. And then Friday morning, I woke up and I went on the internet and people were going crazy and headlines were unbelievable. And it saved the season. The Lakers' season has been saved. They can beat anybody. They've come together. This team is for real. That is total, utter nonsense. So I checked my phone and I thought, well, who do they play next? They're out east. Oh, Sixers. And I thought to myself, well, what if they go get beat by 25 of the Sixers? LOL. They did. NBA media, settle down. Individual wins in February are irrelevant. The Lakers are a completely average team, and that game didn't save any season. They're one star and 13 possible transactions. Kyle Kuzma's their second best player, and he disappears in games. He did against the Sixers. He does it all the time, and he's their second best player. And I know they're all transactions because I read stories last week where the Lakers were willing to give up every single young player. And I scolded the Lakers, and I said, this is a big mistake. Do not get into business with the Pelicans like this. It will get ugly. It's a cautionary tale. When a team like the Pelicans has nothing to lose, be very careful about what you offer. They're just manipulating you. Because the Lakers put out a list of 7 players and 5 draft picks they were willing to give up. All the players now know they're pawns. This is an average team with one great player on the back nine of his career, though he's still remarkable. He's not as dominant as he once was. He's coming off an injury. Only one other player is a true asset, Kyle Kuzma, and he disappears in games. And I thought the trade and all of it and all the nonsense in the media confused an average locker room. JaVale McGee, Magic Johnson flew out to the East Coast to talk to the kids and talk to the team after all those trade rumors were out there. And JaVale McGee was asked by the LA Times what he made of Magic Johnson talking to the players about all the trade rumors that never transpired. JaVale McGee said, it felt good. How am I supposed to answer that? How did I feel? Tingly inside? I don't know. The reporter said, was it productive? Yeah, I got so much out of it. It's crazy. Deep exhale. I don't know what you're trying to ask. Yeah, either do I. Magic Johnson flew out to soothe his young players who are freaking out, which all young people, middle-aged people, or old people would do if they feel they're completely expendable. Magic Johnson talked about that meeting with the team.
Quit making this about thinking these guys are babies, because that's what you're treating them like. They're professionals. All of them. And this is how this league works. They know it. I know it. All deals are, a lot of them are made in public. We didn't make it in public, but that's part of it. That's what happens, man. We got big boys here.
I was wondering if they
bounce back. They're fine.
They're not fine. They didn't look fine yesterday. This is not about kids being babies. I'll say it again. Luke Walton is in big trouble. This is a confused locker room. And be very careful about doing business with people who have nothing to lose. The Pelicans didn't. Dirtied up all the trade rumors and manipulated Magic and the Lakers. I don't blame the players. If you can sense your demise or the fact that you're completely expendable, that's tough for anybody to deal with. Some people are married. Some have families. Some are comfortable with their current employer. That win against the Celtics, take a deep breath, meant nothing. This is going to be an incredibly choppy second half, and Luke Walton, unfortunately, will take the hit. Let me shift gears to this. This is really confusing because I like this player. There is a rule in professional sports. There's two things you don't talk about. You don't talk about another player's wife, and you don't talk about another player's money. Oh, wait. Dak Prescott this weekend talked about both.
Nobody's wife makes as much money as his wife does either. So make sure we know that, all right? When Tom Brady isn't the breadwinner in the home, then that's a great problem to have. So in that case, he can do that. He can you know, do his contracts however you want to do them.
Oh, brother. Tom Brady's wife. First of all, once you get to $100 million net worth, $150 million net worth simply doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything. It's all about ego. Tom Brady has been restructuring his contract pre-Giselle and post-Giselle because Tom Brady is all about winning. Kirk Cousins isn't. Kirk Cousins is about getting his money. Kirk Cousins isn't dumb. Kirk Cousins knows that the more a quarterback makes, the less you can afford on your offensive line or in your running game. Both liabilities last year for the Vikings. Players make decisions all the time. NBA stars make a boatload of money with apparel and shoes. Therefore, guys like Kevin Durant best serve taking a little less to win more and shaping his legacy. Dak Prescott has all the data in the world now. He is saying he will not take a pay cut. He has all the data in the world. It is clear that in a salary cap league, the top six paid quarterbacks, none of them made the playoffs last year. Does Dak Prescott really believe that those two major endorsement deals, he's got one with yogurt and one with Campbell's soup, that he would have those if not for the Dallas Cowboys? Really? He really believes that. Does Dak Prescott believe that Zeke makes him better? That front seven defensively puts him in better field position, and that Tyron Smith at left tackle has elevated his protection? Once data is provided to any American, then the choices are yours. Tom Brady has been restructuring his deal. He did it back in the Randy Moss days because Tom Brady's a winner. Tom Brady knew that if I take less, we can get Randy Moss. And we can keep he and Wes Welker. That's what Brady's been doing very early in his career. That's why he fits so well in New England. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if New England doesn't just pay Brady in goats, since he is one. This is not about anything, about a wife, about money. That is just an excuse to take money and hurt your legacy. There's something very clear that is happening. The two biggest stars in America right now in sports are NBA stars and NFL quarterbacks. And with both, we have decisions that need to be made by those stars and quarterbacks. We know that quarterbacks are better served, Drew Brees a great example, of taking a little less. And since Brees decided to do that several years ago, the Saints' running game and offensive line and defense are significantly better. And it should be noted that Steph Curry made $42 million last year off the court. Klay Thompson made $13 and has virtually no personality. Kevin Durant makes more with Nike than he does with the Warriors. But those players know that nobody really watches the NBA from October to February, but they do watch in April, May, and June. And you want to be on TV. And you'll be on TV if you're on a team good enough to win series after series after series. So NFL quarterbacks and NBA stars, be it the wife or the shoe deal, know that career longevity and elevation is secured by not being, data now clearly provided, the highest paid guy. Dak Prescott. Brady's not about his wife. It's not anything about that. Tom made a career decision pre-Giselle. I want to constantly restructure my deal because I want to win games. The question now, Dak, do you?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So the New York Knicks did something I thought was really brilliant, actually. I thought this was absolutely brilliant by the New York Knicks. Very, very funny. So they were asking their fans about ticket renewals, and they put Kevin Durant, who is rumored to be interested in the Knicks, in that photo. By the way, I couldn't tell you who that Nick is, but I know it's Kevin Durant. This is not tampering. It is not tampering. It's brilliant. It's funny, and they should have never taken it down, though they were pressured. The NBA gasses up their stars, and then they just don't like it when their stars have mobility. This is not tampering. In fact, I'd argue it's pampering. The Knicks are pampering their season tickets, selling them a dream and hope and optimism. That's pampering, not tampering. By the way, LeBron with Giannis, they were on a TV show, Charles Barkley included Shaq. And so they were drafting. They've decided to televise this. It's very, very smart, very funny. I love it. So they televise now star players, Giannis for the East, LeBron for the West, and they pick their all-star teams. It's a great idea. They televised it, and they were joking about all the tampering stuff.
With my first pick in the second round, I'm going with Anthony Davis.
You sure you want him to be your teammate?
I'm very sure of that.
isn't that tampering?
No.
Tampering rules does not imply on All-Star weekend.
Well, actually, I think the best way to do this for Giannis to trade everybody on his bench for Anthony Davis. I think that'll be right.
That's hilarious, Charles Barkley. This is part and parcel to the league. Being afraid of player mobility is like being afraid of technology. A, it's not going anywhere, and B, it's a whole lot of fun. Steve Kerr came out after one of his stars, Kevin Durant, was pushing back and all the rumors about where Kevin Durant was going to play, and Steve Kerr, like LeBron, was very level-headed. He said, "We're all actors in a soap opera." Understand that's a big part of the revenue stream, the intense interest and passion that fans have. Where, who, why, what team? People, it'd be nice if people just paid attention to pick and roll coverage, but they don't. Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. A huge component to their wealth is the speculation. You know, that's why TV people make more than newspaper people. We're called TV shows, and there's TV stars. That's why newspapers have people that cover television. And television doesn't have people that cover newspapers and break down columns. That's the way the game works. TV is a show. The NBA is entertainment. What the Knicks did was pampering, not tampering. There is no reason to be afraid of it. What are we protecting with Anthony Davis and the Pelicans? His great legacy there? God, they were called the Hornets 15 minutes ago. I love how LeBron handled it. I love how Steve Kerr handled it. In an ideal, perfect world, we would deeply care about the minutiae of sports. And we don't. One of the reasons I like the NBA, in fact, I prefer it over baseball, is because of the soap operas and of the rumors and of the speculation and of the constant elevation of storylines. It's just more fun. Tip of the cap to Giannis, Barkley, Kerr, and LeBron. That's what this league's all about.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Kyler Murray, breaking news, has announced he will play football over choosing Major League Baseball. He was the quarterback for the Oklahoma Sooners. He is much smaller than any quarterback that's had success in this league. I think he's slightly shorter than Doug Flutie. He is a remarkable athlete, baseball and football. I do believe he will be drafted in the first round. I do believe he made a very smart choice choosing football over baseball. He's going to get, as a first-round pick, 4 years of guaranteed money. He is firmly and fully committed to his life to become an NFL quarterback. It's on his Twitter today. I agree with him. I think it's the smart move. I also think he's a fascinating player. And instead of going to minor league baseball and disappearing, he will be playing on Sundays and get mega endorsement deals if he succeeds. I think this is the obvious choice. And I think there's two things. The NFL's a copycat league. Number one, you watch Lamar Jackson come in, and he's not a totally developed thrower. Kyler Murray's a way better thrower than Lamar Jackson, but he runs around a lot, and he got his team, the Ravens, to the playoffs running around a lot. Now, Kyler Murray's a much better thrower of the football. Kyler Murray, if there's a prototype in the NFL, I'd say it's Russell Wilson. Again, Russell Wilson's one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen, so it's not fair to compare anybody to Russell Wilson. There's a little bit of Russell Wilson. There's a little bit of Johnny Manziel, although I think he's a much better athlete than Johnny Manziel. And I frankly think he's a better thrower of the football than Johnny Manziel.
We kind of put all of the shorter quarterbacks in one category.
Right.
Even though they really aren't that much alike. I mean, like, you would never say Johnny Manziel is the same type of quarterback as Russell Wilson.
Well, what's funny is I think Russell Wilson got Johnny Manziel drafted, but it's the maturity of Russell Wilson that makes him not just running around part. He's a really bright, mature guy. So I think Murray is a draftable first-round quarterback. Again, probably not a guy. My number one quarterback is Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State. He's not a runner at all. He is a complete 100% pocket passer. That's my favorite quarterback. He's a big, strong kid for the Buckeyes. But Kyler Murray is draftable. He's really small. He looks small in the college game. In the NFL, he'll look really small.
He's listed at 5'11".
And that's not true. Because I'm 6'1", and he's not close to me. I'd say he's closer to 5'8.5", but I think here's the other thing. So the NFL's a copycat league. We had a runaround guy, Lamar Jackson, and to some degree, Mitch Trubisky lead their team to the playoffs. Okay. The second thing is the Big 12, everybody always rolled their eyes at the Big 12, right? The Big 12 quarterbacks, run and shoot, this stuff can't work in the... And then Baker Mayfield came in, you're like, oh, Big 12 quarterbacks? Because NFL looks more and more like Big 12 football now. Everybody's spread out. You know, the Super Bowl, notwithstanding, you know, most of the NFL this year was guys running around. Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Big 12 quarterbacks are now having success in the NFL. So I think the kid made the right choice. Probably not a guy I'd build around first, but here's the NFL draft order. Here it is. I'll give it to you right now. Arizona Cardinals. Just keep your eye on Arizona. I think if I was the Buccaneers at 5, I would consider drafting him. If I was the Jacksonville Jaguars at 7, I think I would draft him. I think I would draft him. I'm not joking. If the Denver Broncos, probably not. I don't think... John Gruden, by the way, said he loves him. Raiders have the 4th pick. Again, the world's changing now. 10 years ago, I would have laughed at this. But Russell Wilson's 5'11.5", and he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's got the best quarterback ranking in the 4th quarter in the history of the league outside of, I think, Aaron Rodgers. And I think Johnny Manziel got drafted because of Russell Wilson. And the idea of the you know, you're 5'11", 5'10", you can't play in this league. The league's changed. The league's changed. Now, I would still rather have a pocket guy. Okay, my favorite quarterbacks in this league are guys who can sit in the pocket and throw darts. But the NFL gives you about, college football gives you one of those every year one. If you need a quarterback, the coaching staff sitting there thinking, okay, this is the Kyler Murray's really interesting. So good. Congratulations to the kid. I think he made the right call. I think he's going to be exciting. And I think you can go disappear in the minor leagues in baseball, or you can go be a first round pick in the NFL. It's a no brainer. It's a total no brainer as a kid. I mean, again, you can go play in Modesto or, you know, Midland, Texas.
Also, I think Tim Tebow has shown that you can try your hand at the NFL and go back to baseball if you're really that skilled at it.
You know what? He's interesting. I want to see the kid play.
Yeah.
I want to see the kid play.
I think he made the right choice also.
Yeah, good for him. All right, we do it every Monday. Colin right, Colin wrong. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Well, I've said it for years and I'll say it again. The NFL and professional football is king in America. The American Alliance of Football, which is an awful name for a league, beat the NBA Saturday night. And it wasn't just an NBA game. It was Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Chris Paul, Paul George, Rockets, Thunder. I mean, that's remarkable. It was a star-studded NBA game. Now, I don't think they're going to beat the NBA, over the rest of the season. A lot of these games will not be on CBS. They'll be on their cable outfit. But I do believe, and I've said this for years, do not listen to the media. Do not listen to the NFL is dying. It's just a bunch of absolute nonsense. This is the sport that we bet. We watched the combine, which is people getting measured from colleges we've never seen on television, doing cone drills. We will watch a spring football league. I think either this league, the XFL, which will be introduced next year at this time, or both will make it. Maybe they converge over 4 or 5 years. But spring football will, I believe, absolutely work in America.
Where Colin was wrong.
LeBrow never happened. Listen, when I started hearing all the rumors last week, my feeling was LeBrow's going to work. They're going to make this happen. But our LeBrow meter is officially under construction. I'm not even sure today, to be honest with you. I'm not sure today Anthony Davis would be great with LeBron. And I'm not sure he's ever going to be a Laker. I do think the Lakers have the ability to pay for a max guy and they'll get one. But it may be Jimmy Butler and not Anthony Davis. Maybe it's a Bradley Beal and it's not an Anthony Davis. But when I saw that cachet that the Pelicans turned down reportedly, I kind of bought into it. I thought this puppy's going to happen. I don't think the Pelicans are ever going to get a better deal than the one that was out there. But right now, the LeBrow meter is under construction.
Where Colin was right.
I've never understood the triple-double. It means nothing. Here's what I know. Oklahoma City's won 10 of 11. Why? Because Russell Westbrook is shooting less. Triple-doubles don't mean anything to me. What means something to me is, as we predicted, Paul George would become Oklahoma City's best player. It's 2019. Westbrook can't shoot. He can't be taking 23 shots a game. Westbrook is now significantly less of a volume shooter, and magically, Oklahoma City is now working very well together. Paul George is their best player. Paul George is averaging 35 points over his last 11 games and shooting 48% on threes, and they're red hot. I'll say it again. You cannot win big in this league if Westbrook is shooting 25 times. You cannot win in this league big time. It's an exhausting style, and he is not efficient enough, and I don't give a rip about triple doubles. They don't mean anything. You know what matters? OKC's won 10 of 11. Why? Westbrook shooting less. Paul George, who can shoot, is shooting more.
Where Colin was wrong.
Ben Simmons, Sixers. What happened? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. He's dating a Jenner. He didn't work in the offseason. And he's completely plateaued. I thought this guy was going to take over the Philadelphia 76ers. But LeBron's defense against him yesterday was just don't guard him. He was 3-for-13. There were times he looked like the seventh best player on the floor. And Joel Embiid, who I like, he's funny and he's talented, but he's a center, is clearly the Sixers' best player. He's their physical leader. Embiid's their emotional leader. He's their communication leader. He's the player other players like. Ben Simmons, and I don't know this, but I'm just going to say it. I don't know if basketball means enough to him right now in his life. He has not improved one iota on his primary weakness, shooting. 0-for-14 on threes. You think you'd work on that a little in the offseason, and he obviously did not.
Where Colin was right.
Kyrie Irving's hurt again. I've said, folks, he's a little bit of a diva. He's a point guard that doesn't pass. He's a little flaky, wanted out of LeBron, and now won't commit to Brad Stevens. And he's hurt all the time. For the record, the Cavaliers with Kyrie Irving before LeBron got there were awful. And the Celtics got to the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7, without him. I'm not saying he's not talented. There is a ton of sizzle with Kyrie Irving. I don't see a lot of steak. I don't see the body component. I don't see the emotional discipline. I don't see a rock-solid guy for 10 years. I'm all in. I'm building around him. I see that with Anthony Davis. I see it with Giannis. I even see it with Kawhi Leonard. I'm seeing it now with Paul George. I see it with LeBron. There's a lot of guys in this league. I see it with James Harden. But Kyrie Irving, be very careful about saying, that's my guy and that's what I'm going to build around. Big gap between talent and franchise player. There's a lot of talent in basketball. Not a lot of guys I'm going to build around.
Where Colin was right.
John Wall got hurt. That's unfortunate. He's out for 2 years, and that stinks for the Wizards. But here's what's not crazy. They were 11-22 with him. They're now 13-10 without John Wall. Listen, the guy's talented, and I feel bad for the Wizards and John Wall, but let's be honest here. He's not a winner. He doesn't make people better. And frankly now, he is the owner of the worst contract in NBA history. And there is not a second place. It hasn't even started yet. He is going to average $44 million a year, and he's going to be coming off a debilitating surgery. And I do. I feel bad for Wall because he is an exciting player. He's good for the league. He's fun. But I never bought into John Wall as a franchise player. And I've said this for years. Hyper-athletic point guards that are not great shooters do not age well. And I've never believed Wall had the leadership component that helped his team win. They are now better officially when he's not there.
Where Colin was wrong.
I love Dak Prescott's maturity, but man, I don't like his comments about Tom Brady's wife. He said yesterday, nobody's wife makes as much money as his wife does. Just don't go there. Tom Brady's been taking restructuring and pay cuts. You know, Tom Brady's never made $20 million. Tom Brady's been underpaid his entire career. But that's because Tom Brady's been constantly restructuring it. It's not because of Giselle. He was restructuring his deal pre-Giselle. And I really do like Dak Prescott. But there's a qualifier. I like him at a price. Listen, I drove a Honda Prelude in high school and college. I wouldn't pay $40,000 for it, but I did like it. Everything's got a price. And I think Dak Prescott did something that he's almost never done in the NFL. Misstep.
It's just a very un-Dak-like comment. Yes, I don't necessarily disagree with all of it, but it's very un-Dak-like. You'd normally be like, oh, whatever Tom makes is Tom's business.
Right.
Where Colin was right.
Markelle Fultz, remember when I told you this past year, I said, don't buy the PR spin. This guy's in the witness protection program. They literally won't show you video of him shooting. He's a shooting guard. He is now officially, last 2 years... he was traded for an end table. It's over. Like, he's a shooting guard that can't shoot. And I didn't buy into this. Listen, he's just coming around. Remember the quotes you were hearing 6 months ago? Listen, he's really found his touch. We're excited for him. Markelle Fultz is going to prove everybody wrong. And then there was this grainy, like, weird video that surfaced where he had this awful shooting motion and it in some gym in North Philly or something. This story has been a nightmare from the beginning. I feel bad for the kid, but I never bought for a second the rehab was working. He was a bust. It was a bad pick. They moved up to get him, allowing the Celtics to get the guy they really wanted, Jason Tatum. It is an all-time bust.
Where Colin was right.
Tip of the cap to TNT. They televised their all-star game selection with Giannis and LeBron James. And they should have a year ago, and it was great television. And this is what the NBA is about. Charles Barkley was funny, and Shaq was funny, and LeBron and Giannis and everybody was funny, and that's exactly what the NBA should have. We have some sound of it. They didn't want to televise it last year. They were worried about how it would play, and as you'll see, it played great.
With my first pick in the second round, I'm going with Anthony Davis.
You sure you want him to be your teammate?
I'm very sure of that.
Isn't that tampering?
No.
Tampering rules does not imply on All-Star Weekend.
Well, actually, I think the best way to do this for Giannis to trade everybody on his bench for Anthony Davis. I think that'll be it.
That was great. And the NBA embraced this stuff. Doug Gottlieb and I disagree on that. Just embrace all this player movement, as Steve Kerr said. It's a soap opera. One of the real revenue stream creators in the NBA is all this soap opera stuff. Colin right, Colin wrong. Again, Kyler Murray has chosen the NFL over baseball. He's the spectacularly fun quarterback for the Oklahoma Sooners. Between Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, Big 12 quarterbacks being, you know, success stories in the NFL, it's ended that narrative. The Big 12 quarterbacks don't work. And I think you had Lamar Jackson, and Kyler Murray's a much better thrower than Lamar, come into this league and, you know, kind of chop it up and tear it up and lead the Ravens over the Steelers. So I think between that momentum, I think Kyler Murray made the right choice. I think he's going to get drafted in the first round. If I'm Jacksonville, I think Jacksonville's roster with the right quarterback, I think he would be a completely game-changing dynamic player for them. He is remarkably small when compared to even other smaller quarterbacks, but I think the kid chose the right sport.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
My dog Buddy is not disciplined enough to be in that because he chases cats around the house all the time. We have beautiful cats and he just is annoying. He doesn't want to hurt them. He wants to play with them all day. So you could have Buddy all trained and the minute he saw a cat out of his left eye, he'd fly around the corner and...
You don't think you could make him go around the loop?
He's not disciplined. I have an undisciplined dog. Catino Mobley, over a decade in the NBA. Dog or cat guy?
You know what? I grew up with cats. I have a dog now named Boomer, Golden Retriever.
Yeah, disciplined?
He's the best dog.
Disciplined?
He is. He is. Unless if we leave him at the house, you know, he'll probably just like mark his territory because nobody walked him during the course of the day. But yeah. Other than that, Boomer's pretty cool.
So what do you make? Lakers beat the Celtics. The world explodes in glee. And then they go get hammered by the Sixers, which is the reality of it. To me, they're a young team that needs LeBron on the court. And when he's not, they're wildly inconsistent. What do you make of them as a team?
Listen, they're young. And when you're young, I think people are a little more patient with you. Now, when LeBron was out for those 17 games, they went, or whatever how many games, they were 6-12 or something like that. If you win 10, 11 of those, we're not even talking about them. You know, if LeBron wasn't hurt and when LeBron was in, if you win 10, 11 of those games, you're like in fourth place still.
Right.
Again, I just think that with all this chaos with those guys, those younger guys, it's hard for them to play hard 100% every single day, knowing something can happen, you know, behind the scenes.
Oh, I think that they all see themselves as totally expendable now.
Right,
exactly. I think psychologically it matters.
Big time.
And these kids are younger than ever. Kyle Kuzma's rare. Most of these guys come right out of college after a year, yep, and they're not ready for it. They're just trying to figure the league out emotionally, and then you're seen as a pawn. I would say this. You know, the NBA is funny this way. Do you think the Lakers win a playoff series?
This year?
Yes.
You know, it's like betting against Tom Brady and Belichick. I can't bet against LeBron James. So I give LeBron James the odds of winning a playoff series. I do.
Okay, so they're going to have to play either. You know they're not going to be a top three seed.
Right.
So they're going to have to play Houston, Golden State, or Oklahoma City. And I don't think they can beat those teams.
You're right. You're right. But those teams have to beat LeBron James four times, right? And Houston, you're a little banged up. James, you may is extraordinary. As you are at the moment, it takes a toll on your body when the playoffs happen. Not saying that, you know, the first round you're not going to do well, but I'm betting on LeBron James and whoever he's playing. He's going to give him a run for their money, whoever he's playing. And you have Rondo with you.
Yeah.
They know how to win. And if those guys stay healthy, I'm betting with those guys because they're winners.
I want to go to Russell Westbrook. He is shooting less, and they're winning more. Right. I'm not into this triple-double stuff. What I'm into is W's. I'm not into those stats, which I think you can have a bad game and have a triple-double. I mean, if LeBron went 10-10-10, it would be an awful game for LeBron, and he'd have a triple-double. I don't care about it. What I care about is Westbrook is listening. He's shooting less. They're winning more. Here's my question, though. That's fine in the regular season. We get to the playoffs. I've watched Westbrook.
Right.
Is it fair for me to say, Catino, once we get to the playoffs, I don't see Westbrook as being as giving as he is today?
I agree. Because, listen, what I've learned in life is I don't pay attention so much to what you say, but what you do. It's a pattern. I'm listening to the pattern, right? I'm watching. I'm listening to the pattern that you are. Now, I was speaking about this earlier. Russell Westbrook is amazing, is an amazing athlete.
Yes.
I think now is his 11th year, 10th, 11th year. Russell has got to the point where now it's like, I don't really have anything individually to prove. Now I have to literally sacrifice my ego to win.
Can he do that?
That's great now in the season, but I need to see you when it's finals. And will you be the old Russell or the new one? I got to bet on a lion's going to be a lion. you're going to be Russell. Unless you prove to me wrong that you're going to defer to Paul George in the playoffs.
I saw him implode last 2 years in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's why Paul George had a bad series last year against Utah. It was inconsistent. He had no consistency, and he needs the ball more.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, Paul's a better two-way player.
Right.
That's not a shot at Westbrook.
I think
Paul's one of the top three two-way players in the NBA.
That is true.
And I think he's about the 12th best player, but he and Kawhi Leonard, to me, and Klay Thompson are the best two-way players in the NBA.
That's true.
All right.
That's true.
What do you make of the Celtics? Kyrie Irving's hurt again. You had kind of an interesting take on this. There is this belief if the Boston Celtics are the guide to rebuilding. But this morning, Kyrie Irving's hurt again. Mm-hmm. Gordon Hayward's not working. Mm-hmm. And Anthony Davis, I've been told last week, is not going to be a Celtic.
Right.
Do you buy into the Celtics long term? Kyrie got hurt again.
I don't.
Why not?
I don't. I think they reached their peak. It's the weirdest thing. It's the other day when they lost against the Lakers, if you notice, who's their best defender? Boston Celtics.
Marcus Smart.
He's not in the game. One foul. He's not in the game at the end of the game. You have Gordon Hayward, and no disrespect to Gordon Hayward, but you're not a stopper. So why is Marcus Smart not in? You had timeouts. Why is Marcus Smart not in the game? Kudos to the Lakers for winning it, right, and coming back. But why is Marcus Smart not in the game? That's one of the – so you have this – you have a team full of talent that don't mesh well.
Well, but yesterday one of their players came out and said, it's not fun here. I feel like we're individuals. That was one of the Celtic players yesterday.
And think about that. He said this yesterday, but prior to that, a week ago prior to that, they were what? In the last 12 games, 10? They won 10 and lost 2? So for him to say that right now, I don't know about that so much as far as – actually, it's going to my point with Marcus Smart. Now Morris says it. Guys are a little inconsistent. Like, it's not like last year.
So it's not – you bring Gordon Hayward over, who Brad Stevens loves. Not sure if the players do.
Right.
Kyrie's his own dude. He's an alpha, but he's his own dude. Mm-hmm. What you're basically saying is the collection of talent on paper is impressive, but they're a 5 seed in the East today.
Right.
It's not meshing.
Right. And see, Brad Stevens loves Gordon Hayward. That's cool. Guess what? I loved my high school girlfriend, too, but we all grow. We all grow, don't we? Like, you're still loving the person that was at Butler. Like, he's totally different. And he doesn't fit well with that team.
I don't think so either.
That team's faster, more athletic. And, yeah, you came off an injury, and I understand that, and we want to give you time. But you still don't fit well with those guys.
Yeah, I think even Celtic fans would acknowledge Gordon Hayward hasn't been a great fit.
Right.
Fit matters.
Yeah, it does, man. The chemistry.
Okay, I think the Golden State Warriors, in terms of stars, do it better than anybody. Their coach deflects criticism. He's media savvy. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry is like the world's greatest star teammate. You're in a city in San Francisco where, you know, Kevin Durant can go in and just score, drive home, put some music in the car, and the Mercedes is a good life.
Yeah.
I think going to the Knicks, they lose with Kevin. He's going to take all the heat, and I don't think he's one of those guys built for that. I think Kevin's a sensitive guy.
He's super.
That's okay.
I think he's super sensitive.
You've played with guys like that.
Yeah.
Like you didn't deal with the social media. Kevin's sensitive. I think he can do a little hiding in Golden State. I don't like the move to the Knicks.
It's just too much pressure. The organization is a little messed up, right, when it comes to the ownership.
A little?
And how they, yeah. I mean, you know, lack of a better term. Playing with Golden State, when you have Stephen Curry as the most important player to me on that team.
Yes.
That makes that team run. It's like Tom Brady. If I'm not whining and I'm not doing this and I'm taking these cuts and I'm doing X, Y, and Z, everybody else should fall in line. You have four guys on that team, not even counting KD, whose IQ is super high from like a point guard perspective. So things are easier. You can kind of defer or you can be the leader and no one cares. If you go somewhere else and you got Golden State fans, you know, I mean, they're amazing. Then you go to New York, and it's a little harder to live. The fans, they're expecting greatness right away. It's going to be hard for you, Kevin, because you And not in a bad way, but he wears his emotions on his sleeve.
Oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, same way. Aaron Rodgers.
Same exact way.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with Aaron. Aaron yeah. and Kevin, but by the way, Kevin and Aaron are single, don't have kids, so right. they go home at night and they're on their device.
right.
No,
right.
I mean, seriously.
Right.
You go home. You got kids, you got right. responsibilities, you got yeah. a wife. You, and I say this all the time, is that I don't have time to be on the Angry Bird all day.
Right.
I can't be, I can't. I, got
I don't, what did they say? Idle time is the devil's playground.
Yeah.
Like, if you have so much time, and something hurts you right away. My daughter will come over and give me a kiss, and I'm cool. My son come and ask me to throw the football, and I'm okay. A lot of these guys, they have so much time, they can just get on there and voice.
And it gets in their head.
For whatever reason, like, just let it go. You know, count to five or count to ten and let it go, a lot of this stuff. But they just voice it.
Great seeing you, man.
Thanks for having me.
Are you on Speak for Yourself today?
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh my gosh.
You are the best dressed guest we have. Goulet, you could take a thing or two from this guy. Be nice if Goulet dressed like this every day for the show, Joy. Wouldn't that be? Nobody wears a suit better than Katina.
Well, I mean, Goulet's back there. He might wear sweatpants, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, only like from.
It's great seeing you.